Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games by three very kind little dickheads. My name is Tommy Dassler. We've also got the rodent-infested Ben Vanell.
Yes, that is correct. I am rodent-infested. Or am I?
Ooh.
Fit a sizzle for later
on. We'll find out later on. We've also got the Mountain Dew and Doritos-infested.
I don't even have them. That's a awful thing to say.
A bold-faced lie. Character assassination.
A Monte Carlo's and creaming soda.
Ooh.
Wow. Classy okay. version.
Taking it into the next generation. Love it.
I actually would love both of those things right now.
Hey, send them in. Locked bag, 6969, Crow's Nest, New South Wales. Also, did I even get to saying your name before you interjected about the... It's Adam Knox.
Yeah, hey.
Once again, the rudest member of the group.
He's a filthy little boy.
Very cool, though, and I do machines.
And also joining us, we've got a guest for the first time. You know him from Utopia and from Have You Been Paying Attention? It's Luke McGregor.
Yeah, thank you. First guest, that's an honour. Thank you. By the way, what was the... What's Crow's Nest, New South Wales a reference to?
Is that Agro? Yeah.
It was pretty much every TV show I remember from growing up. You had to write into. Yep. So there must have just been
Disney, I think. Yeah.
There must have just been some post office there that handled all of the mail that came in.
Just a lot of shit drawings of 90s cartoon characters.
Yeah. And videos of dogs falling down the stairs. Yeah. I reckon it was Funniest Home Videos as well.
Yes.
But I remember being spellbound by the name of it when I was
Crow's
a
Nest?
Kid. Yeah, Crow's Nest.
Yeah.
It does actually sound like it'd be like a boss level in a Donkey Kong Country game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's probably an awful town to live in, though.
Just getting swooped all of the time.
Just a lot of like those old men like sitting outside a pub having a sip of 4X and sighing.
So, Luke, sorry, what were you going to say?
No, go. I thought I had more mailbox jokes, but I don't.
If you do, send them in to 6969.
Yes! You're joining us on a pretty momentous episode of the podcast. This is episode 4. And we've
as we all know,
episode
four.
For any podcast.
Yes, that's the milestone.
Make or break.
I'm getting to it. This is episode 4. And I think we've been pretty transparent since day one that the only reason we're doing this is to get free stuff.
That's
the only reason we started a video games podcast. We want free games.
Yep. You could, because there's four of us now, just keep adding a guest every episode. So, you know, by the 10th episode, you've got 10 people on the podcast.
We'll have to split the free stuff between so many people.
For the 100th episode.
Maybe we can just pretend it's different people and we'll all do voices.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we get we just get more consoles sent to us.
Yes, exactly.
But, you know, anything, we just want free games. We want, we want to be... You know, ultimate goal is we want to be flown over to E3.
Yes.
You know, wouldn't that be nice?
I can't believe
just put up in a 5-star hotel.
Like, you guys got a bunch of free games.
Yeah, listen to how many. I'm going to drop them all at once and listen to the noise it makes.
So let's
this is stupid. I don't think that was even picked up.
Like, so let's very quickly say this.
Just for a bit of context, now I do another podcast that I've been doing for about 5 years now. We've been trying to get free stuff and sponsorship from that for 260 plus episodes.
Yes, if anything, it takes up like an unentertaining amount of your show.
Yes, yes. Yeah. We've never gotten jack shit. We do this podcast, Filthy Casuals, for one episode.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we have Electronic Arts beating down our door and beating off our dicks.
Trying to
That's why it's called Filthy Casuals.
Trying to get to send us free stuff. So within one episode, we were getting free stuff out of this podcast.
Yes, we've peaked early.
It's
so
amazing.
Did you just... tweet them or something, or email them.
A listener
put us in touch with them.
Yeah,
really?
Put us in touch. Yeah. And you did all the correspondence, Ben. So talk us through it. How does this sort of thing go down?
Like, really simply. Like, I just
emailed
them.
You and the head
them.
Of EA on Skype.
Hey, buddy, give us some games. Yeah, right. 6969.
It's in the post. So that's very good. I think they deserve more. edit a laugh in there, please.
That was good.
Let's all do a laugh clean so good. Ben can drop it in later on. But so...
Yeah, I just emailed them and they were like, oh, cool. Sounds like a thing that exists.
Yeah, and because so they said to you, how many people are there? And you said 3. And yes. They said, what systems do you have? And you said, we've got a PS4.
Yep.
We've got an Xbox One.
Yep.
And we've got a Wii U.
Mm.
So they've sent us a pile of PS4 games.
Yep.
They've sent us a pile of Xbox One games. And they've sent us 0 Wii U games.
Yeah.
So was the most vocal about wanting free stuff, and I fucking missed out on this delivery.
Yeah, that's karma. You're too greedy.
You own all the good games on the Wii U anyway, wouldn't you? Just to, like, how many?
There's like 8, there's, right?
Yeah. God. Well, EA actually don't make games for it, do they?
Yeah, EA stopped making games for the Wii U, like,
really
early on.
They only make games for good consoles.
Roasted.
Console wars. Fucking.
Right, either. You on Team Ben, Team Adam, or Team Fuckhead?
Oh, no, I'm getting roasted in front of all the mouth breathers that listen to this.
We should get Luke, I guess, some context here. What do you have? What do you like?
I've got a PS4 and a PC. I've got my first gaming rig this year.
Nice.
I just wanted to be one of those guys
with a
PC that so it's just sitting next to the TV, this big tower.
Does it have the bright lights?
We're talking some blue fluoros that you normally see underneath a car.
So you're basically that cool.
That cool, yeah. And it makes a whoosh noise. It's really...
Does it really make a whoosh noise?
Yeah, and a lot of stuff happens that just doesn't make sense and then you reboot it and it works again. It's all the stuff I thought would happen has happened.
I like at the moment we're more fascinated by the outer appearance of the hardware than by any gaming stuff that's going on.
It's the way I am with computers and women. I am extraordinarily shallow.
But it's great. But mind you, I've done a couple of... I've got a PS3 as well, and I've got Dark Souls on the PS3 running, and then I've got it running simultaneously on the PC and done some graphics comparisons, like gone to the exact same...
Oh, you've done it.
Split
screen.
Yeah, gone to the exact same level, same viewpoint, and the difference is huge.
Mm.
But PS4 to PS... the PS4 to what I've got, the rig I've got, which is a i5 with a 970 GTX, or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah.
It's not...
It's like the two back from
Metal,
the...
Metal Gear 5 has like a slightly longer draw distance, but otherwise you'd struggle to notice a difference.
Yeah.
So and it was about $2,000.
If you had to put together a gaming PC, like... That's what's always put me off about it. I've always thought it would be like you're kind of having to go and build it all yourself from scratch, basically. Not build it, but put all
Lego
the parts together.
I just go
to Harvey Norman and go, fuck me up, fam.
Not Harvey Norman.
I went online and just sort of picked the pieces and then got someone else to put it together.
Yeah, that's what I did a few years ago. Mine's still holding up. It would have been about $2,000 as well. Yeah, like, I don't know, 4 years ago?
Because
Steam has so many sales.
So cheap. $4.
Yeah.
For a game that's still $50. Like Tomb Raider, I think I bought for $2.
Yeah, yeah.
Like all the Far Cries and just all these games. Oh, I've always wanted to play that. And it's like $3.
Yeah.
Oh, done.
What do you do? Do you go mouse and keyboard or do you go a little...
I got an Xbox controller for it. Yeah.
Living the dream.
Yes.
It's a real good time, guys.
Yeah. How long have you had that computer?
Maybe 6 months now. Having said that, the only thing I plan is Hearthstone, which you can play on an iPod, iPad.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a bit shit.
I have
shit.
That on my phone.
Yeah.
It's fucking addictive.
But then again, my phone costs like, I mean, if I'd have bought it outright, it'd be like
$1,000. Yeah.
That's a great, I love the image of that, just you putting together all these intricate pieces of this gaming PC and then plugging in and just going hell for leather with Snake on it.
playing Golden Axe on the Sega Mega Drive collection.
Newgrounds.com, here we come.
Yeah, it's a waste. It's a complete waste.
But that's the good thing about like getting in on something like that now is that the next sort of like 5 years or so will be, because I mean the reason you wouldn't notice a huge difference between what the PS4 looks like and that PC, everything's developed for the PS4 in mind these days.
I liked that the console sort of locks the games into place for a while.
Yeah,
it means my PC is going to be five years down the track, I'm still going to be fine.
Whereas
if the PS4 didn't exist, it'd just be they're trying to kick it up on a
totally
time.
And you get those fucked up things that are like right on the fringe of what's possible. Like there's a thing that it's not even released called Star Citizen.
Star Citizen, heard of this?
Which is like, it's like pre-alpha early, but like it just looks like it'll never work on any machine that'll ever exist.
Yeah, I want No Man's Sky.
That's oh, yes.
I'm just, yeah, that I'm looks just, great.
Yep.
I just look up articles on that like a Stalker. I just can't. I just wanted to come out.
Yeah.
Did you see the thing?
And I hope it's shit when it does. Like, I hope it's really shit. Yeah. I don't know why. I just really hope it's shit.
It's too ambitious. It's too, like...
I think it'd be brilliant, but if it's as good as what it's looking like it's going to be, then you just play it forever.
Yeah. Your life will be over.
I want it to be bad so I don't sit there exploring 18 billion... whatever the number is.
Yeah.
You want to try heroin, but like, oh, it's been disappointing.
Well, because you were sort of talking about this before before we started recording, but you've done stand-up about this, about how you have OCD. Like, how does OCD affect you with gaming? Because if it's like a huge open world thing, is that like a
nightmare? Well, I've never let myself play World of Warcraft or anything like that, because I'd get hooked.
Yeah.
Like games like Dark Souls, I got hooked on that. And I had to, so at one point I sold it. I just sold it.
Yeah.
I can't play this anymore. I'm too addicted to it. Then I bought it again.
Off the same person you sold it to.
Bad news.
Exactly. just broke into his house. And then I was playing it and I died, because when you die on that, it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
You lose everything. And I, I took the disc out, snapped it.
Ooh, oh, wow. Rage. That is extreme.
Bought it again. and now I don't. Now I play it at a safe level. But it took 250 hours of play for me to get to this level of, okay, I don't need it anymore, but I still like it.
Yeah.
So the makers of Dark Souls, they've gotten a triple dip coin out of McGregor.
I better get the next one for free. So I figure if I took that into a game that was never ending, like Hearthstone is at the moment for me, I find it hard to let it go. I don't know whether it's OCD related or whether it's just that constant cycle of drip feed, like Diablo 3 or something. Loot chasing. I just can't
so
do
you're
it.
A completionist, like those things where there's like side missions and like to levels sign it off. Where you can get like 10 things to collect
when there's a big empty list
when it's an empty list, or a list that just keeps generating, I'm like, alright, I just bury myself, or I have to just leave it alone. I can't go half in.
So, what's your favorite type? What are your favorites? What are some of your all time favorite games or your favorite genre?
The one that hit me the most was Final Fantasy VII.
Oh.
Because it was around the same time I was growing up. I'd never played something like that. I'd never cared about a game character before. I'd never cried when someone died before in a game.
Right.
I reckon
that was, what was that, PS1?
That was
PlayStation 1?
Yeah.
1997.
That was the one, because last week we were talking about kind of having tantrums, and that was the one that I got so addicted to that I would not have dinner, just like tell my family to leave me alone.
And that was the one where they did the big jump because they'd always been on Nintendo.
Yes.
And they'd
been top down 2D.
PlayStation. But
I reckon that flashback.
Flashback was fucking
rad. Resident Evil 1 were probably the... And Street Fighter and Tekken. Street Fighter, that was the first one when I was a kid.
I've never been able to get into any fighting game, apart from Smash Brothers, any fighting games growing up that weren't Street Fighter, because I just went, this is the alpha dog, and everything else just seems like a pale competitor.
See, I never have been able to get into Street Fighter. Oof. I've always been a Tekken guy.
I love Tekken.
Yeah.
Tekken's very good. It's weird, like, I think Soul Calibur is the best out of all of them. Did you?
I've never played that.
What about a Streets of Rage or a Final Fight? Did you ever get those?
Oh yeah, those side-scrolling beat 'em ups.
Streets of Rage 2. Oh,
no depth, just fun.
Yeah,
just punching
just
the shit out of people in the street.
Because playing those Simpsons game or the Turtles game, they haven't aged well. It's a lot of button bashing and just like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because we've talked about this, but they're like arcade style games where they're just made for like onslaught of enemies and they want you to just be dumping coins into it. So it's just never ending. You can play for 10 minutes and have a lot of fun, but there's not, they can't afford to build in depth into it. They can't have a great storyline or anything.
I never played any of the fighting games like in an arcade ever. I didn't want to go up and like get beaten by some stranger and do that.
Okay, the one in Bourke Street, they still do it. You can sit on a street front and someone will sit down and challenge you.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
But just on the Can't Afford Dev storyline, I always thought if you were playing an arcade machine and you walked out of there, it was kind of hidden, and then you walked out and you were like crying and like, that was so powerful. that would make me want to put a couple of dollars in to see what the hell that was all about.
Yeah.
I feel like there's one emotion they're tapping into, and maybe they could have tapped into a few other ones.
Yeah.
It'd be just as good.
Oh, that's such a great idea. And it's like one of those, you know, those like really intense, like a lot of the card driving ones will have it where it's like the whole machine is like you're in a box. Yeah. So people can't actually see what the game is.
Yeah.
But it's just like a game where like you go in and within, it's like the start of Up. Within like 5 minutes, it's like you're just being reminded about your dead dad or whatever. When you walk out and you're just in tears and people are like, holy
like
shit.
Like it's called Dream Factory or something.
Yeah.
And you pay an actor to come out every now and then on the phone and go, boss, I quit. Fuck you. Woo! And then, yeah.
No, you don't even need to pay the actor. The game is so good that that's just happening.
That's just happening.
That's just already happening.
Oh, it'd be brilliant.
You want to see someone cry after they cut, like, just put set up a big thing and then have them sit down in a box and it's just a mirror. And up the top it says, like, is this what you wanted?
Oh,
sit in there for 10 minutes and everyone comes in crying. You go, ooh, that looks good.
Yeah.
That
must be and if you can look into the mirror and say, yes, this is what I wanted, then it's like 50 of those little tickets coming.
Yeah, you can buy yourself a little slinky.
Stuffed carrot.
Stuffed carrot.
I love the guys that park themselves down at arcades. Like, any kind of, any of the, like, well, I mean, the dancing machines are the are the best example of it. But the drumming ones, the guys who got really good at the drumming video game machines, it's like start a fucking band, like you're clearly really good.
Yeah, if you're good at Guitar Hero, you can play guitar. That's how it works, Tommy.
Does it, is
fucking
that
idiot?
No, drums though. Drums translates because it's rhythm. Yeah. It's actually playing the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know if you can simplify the drum unless you have it. Every time you hit the whatever it is, it changes the noise of the drum. I just don't think you can simplify it.
Yeah. What's always, just to go back to Street Fighter quickly, what I've always found, like, because I loved it growing up, like on the Super Nintendo, but I was playing it in a real way, which is sort of what my friends were the same, of just mashing buttons.
Yeah.
No one's learning the moves. Yeah. And I went and bought the, was it four or five? Four on the PS3 when I first got the PS3, and I went, this is great. Revisit my childhood. They did such a great job of updating it into the 3D, but still keeping the 2D plan and everything. The new characters were sort of really on, like, you know, the whole package was so good.
Yeah.
But I just looked at it and I was like, to feel like I'm getting the most out of this, I've got to sit down and learn the moves.
Yeah.
And it just seems like such a backwards, weird way of getting, and like having to go into the training thing and just practice rotating a joystick.
Yeah. Totally. Well, that's what Tekken always was like from memory. It's like you pick a character and you learn the moves. Like that's...
Yeah.
It kind of, yeah.
Yeah, there's something like that, especially Virtual Fighter series. You kind of got to enjoy that.
Yeah.
You got to enjoy that learning, memorizing process.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the genius of Smash Brothers is just like every character just has the same four inputs. They're really simple.
Yeah.
So you know one and you know them all. And it's actually about picking a character.
There's all the crazy tournament people who would argue with you and say like, no, but there's Foxman and all this stuff.
Yeah, there's complexities and stuff. Yeah.
It's not like having to sit and like... The fucking inputs you've got to put in to make Dalsim do a yoga flame where it's like up, down, left, right, half, A, B.
They get a lot easier, pretty quicker than you'd imagine. They can look off-putting, but it's a lot easier sooner than you would think it would be.
Right. Mm. By the way, very quickly, when we were in Japan, we saw one of the best pieces of merchandise I've ever seen. Street Fighter 2 themed merchandise, Dalsim themed curry.
Oh yeah! Like
oh really?
Little take home meal, little sachet thing you heat up, and suddenly you're able to spew fire.
Yeah,
stretch your arms really long,
like a blanker car battery or something. Electricity. Fly a blanker fly zapper. That'd be cool.
Oh, that'd be really good. Oh, that must exist. That'd be so good. Oh wow.
There was a period of time where I genuinely thought I would look very cool with the same haircut that Guile has from Street Fighter. That just like sharp flat top.
Yeah.
Kind of Vanilla Ice's haircut.
I didn't realize, there was a song on the internet. I never realized he didn't have eyebrows. I just never looked at it. Did you look at Guile, he's got no eyebrows. I just didn't notice it.
It's kind of a good intimidation tactic.
Yeah, like, shows him off. Huh?
I like you say this as if we were going to know that and none of us knew that.
Yeah.
You know how everybody else knows that? Took me until I was ages. But yeah, fighting games. Street Fighter is one of the only ones that stayed consistent as well. Like there's a fifth one coming out, but like Tekken's fucking weird now. It's gotten
Tekken Tag 2 was alright. Mortal Kombat definitely had its ups and downs.
The last
two are really good though, I think.
I just think for me, just the character design of Street Fighter, just those original roster
amazing.
Is just, it's just perfect. Like so much. There's a great article that I'll post on the Facebook about the oral history of Street Fighter 2 and how it all got started up. And they interview the American guys that were like importing the cabinets and then they talk to the Japanese development team. Mm. And it literally everyone on the Japanese development team sounds like a fucking psycho. Like, it's just all these stories like, yeah, there was this one guy who you'd just be there programming, he'd just come out and get his dick out and just be waving it in your face.
Came over, he's like, hey, I shaved off my eyebrows.
Yeah, like there's a bit in it where like the Americans talk about going over and meeting them and going, these guys are fucking lunatics.
Yeah.
But they also talk about like it coming out and just like when they first got those arcade cabinets and were putting them in in arcades. Mm. They were having to just make so many more to ship them over because the demand was insane. Like all these arcades are calling up Capcom and going, there's a line like 50 people deep to get into this machine.
Oh my yeah, God.
People went nuts just for it as soon as it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, there's just some old bloke running the bloody fun factory there.
Yeah.
He's just cashing
his
in
dick
big time.
Out of his pants.
I think you've got your wires crossed there, Noxie.
Did you play the one where it was the video? It was a video of cowboys. Like, so actors would pretend to fall down dead and you'd shoot them.
Oh.
It was a full motion video.
Mad Dog McCree?
Mad Dog McCree, I think, yeah.
Was this an arcade game?
It was an arcade game, but it was a film. And they would just have like... They just go to different clips depending on whether you shot them or not.
It's like a laser disc thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like fucking Dragon's Lair was that cartoon one of that where there's just one button and if you don't push it in
that's
time,
right.
it was just a quick time event game.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically that movie thing that you were saying of like play the first 10 minutes of Up. But like, if you don't hit the button at the right time, the old man explodes.
Because really, it's just it's an editing simulator.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember seeing. I can't remember where I used to see this. I think it might have been an ad at the start of videos growing up. But there was like, it was a board game where it came with a VHS.
Nightmare.
Something like that,
yeah.
And I remember in the ad, it was like, a bunch of kids playing it, and there was like this weird ghoulish face on the screen.
Yeah, yeah. I think we bought that as a family, and I was too scared by it. Like, I got so scared, I was like, I can't play the game. Sorry, Mum and Dad.
I was always fascinated with how it would work because it's a VHS, so it's on rails, and it like in the ad, it's you know, ads are always like a totally idealistic view of how the thing's going to work, where it's like. The thing on the screen is interacting perfectly with the kids
like,
playing the game.
Sucked in, Susan.
But it's like you're gonna have to like pause it while you're playing.
Exactly.
Like,
the ad never shows the bit where it's like pause now.
And that doesn't show the bit where it's all fuzzy on the screen. You're like, Dad, get the head cleaner out.
Yeah.
From memory, you get one or two good runs, and then it loses its mystique. I think from memory.
Yeah,
you really need to hire an actor to dress up as the ghoul to be. And then I guess you're playing Dungeons and Dragons or whatever.
Yeah.
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 You're obsessed with hiring actors.
I love them.
In video games.
Make it real.
You know what the coolest version of that was? There was a game on the Xbox 360 called One vs. 100. But I don't know if you could play in this country, and I never played it. I just like read about it and thought it sounded like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
And there would literally be an actor that they hired to be the host of this game show. 100 people could get in at a time, and then one of them, it could be anyone who was going to play. It would go at, 7:30 on a Thursday, and one of them would be, the contestant, and the rest of you would be, a voting crowd in the audience. I don't know how the game worked, but it had the real host of a real show showing up at, 7:30.
Wasn't that made into just a game show here?
I think there's a game show there as well.
Yeah.
But the host would do it for the Xbox version as well.
That's really cool. Just like a live stream type
thing. And they had a little webcam that they tried to. I think it only went for 3 weeks and then someone got their dick out probably.
Okay.
Yeah. They were like,
that took 3 weeks.
Yeah, well, they were developing Street Fighter 4 at the time.
I want to talk about this quickly because last week, Luke, we had. I don't know why this came up, but Ben talked about how there's mice in his apartment that you're in right now.
Oh, no.
That's not a problem. Yeah. But what I've been trying to do is I've been trying to play a lot of retro games for this show, and I've sort of decided that I'll try and kind of theme it to whatever we've been talking about. And so last week, because the Far Cry Primal trailer came out, I played a lot of Caveman video games on the Super Nintendo. Oh. And I said I'd try and find some Vermin video games to play in this week's, after
Tommy's
talking
about
Retro
mice. Rundown or whatever.
Tommy's
it is.
Retro Rundown.
Jeez, I can't think of any.
Well, so a friend of mine, a listener of the show, Jonathan Heath, got in touch and recommended. He sent me two things. First of all, he sent me a clip of something from the Max Payne video games, which I've never played. Have any of you guys played?
Yeah, I played the third one. Great. Yeah.
Apparently there's an Easter egg, and I think maybe the first one where he just sent me a video of someone just doing this, where there's a bit where you're in a sewer, and early on in the level, if you throw a bomb into a crack in the wall, you later on, you kind of run through the level and you end up on the other side of the wall. And then when you're there, because you've thrown the bomb in, there's mice that pull out guns and start shooting at you.
Oh, really?
Jesus.
That's great.
That's cool.
Which, I've never played one of the Max Payne video games, but that's the kind of stuff that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Sign me up. I'm
it kind of isn't. It's like exactly the opposite.
Yeah, it's like real, like, it's like almost boringly gritty. Yeah.
Angry about that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then little mice with little guns just shooting at you. And it's like in the clip, it's like, there's like eight of them and they just fuck you up instantly. Like you're dead almost immediately. Which
Was the other one Dishonored? Because that's got, I just thought of that, but that's that's a real, you can use rats to it's called Dishonored. You play a
you're a thief, right?
Assassin but you work for the royals or something. Yeah, and there's and they frame you.
There's some magic involved, and
there's rats in it, and they're a real pain in the ass. You throw dead bodies, and then they eat the dead bodies, and while they're doing that, you got to try and get around them.
Yes,
you're just throwing corpses at them. Yeah. Eat that guy.
Yeah.
Well, the Jonathan put me onto a game that I actually played a lot when I was a kid. Mm. Maybe the grand example of vermin-based video games. Little game by the name of Jazz Jack Rabbit.
Oh, he's not vermin, he's a rabbit.
The rabbit's a vermin.
Do they count as vermin?
In Australia, they probably do.
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I mean, we decide as humans, I suppose. Yeah.
Cut me some fucking slack, Noxie. Jesus Christ.
No, don't talk about whatever you've prepared.
Throw out your
notes. Oh, no, that's right. I played that Nintendo game, Curtis the Cockroach. You happy now? Jesus Christ. But, Jazz Jackrabbit. I hadn't thought of that since until John reminded me of it.
Yeah.
And I loved it as a kid.
Yeah.
Did you ever play it, Luke?
No. Any memory of it? A platformer or?
It was a platformer. It was meant to be the PC's answer to Sonic the Hedgehog.
Exactly.
It was, I love hearing those sort of sort of things.
It was made by Epic, who
Epic Games
ended up making Unreal and like Epic, Gears of War and stuff.
Yep. Mm.
So he basically is you're a little green rabbit and you've got a gun, which is kind of rare for platformer games. You can sort of upgrade and stuff.
Nice.
And it was sort of from this generation of computer games, the whole shareware thing. Remember where you just would really easily be able to get a game that had, you just, there'd be like a free thing.
Like
out of
your Wolfenstein 3Ds.
Like the first level, and then I had like a ton of those, but I never had the full games. I never went in and got the full games because because it was like sort of before really easy internet access.
You'd have to mail in it. It when the game finished, it would come up with like a DOS prompt that gave you, it said like 6969 Crow's Nest.
Yeah.
And you had to mail away for the rest of the game with a bit of money.
And I remember always running it, but just being like, my dad is never going to go for this. Like, he's never going to let me put money in the mail to get a computer.
Can I send some money
game
to someone called Jazz Jack Rabbit?
Can I post him your credit card? They'll post it back.
Yeah.
Is it aged well?
I played a little bit of it, and it's all, well, this was the thrilling thing, was that because someone just put the whole thing online. So I got to go, there was this menu screen that would just have like the one level that you could play and then five under that you couldn't get to.
Yeah.
And I finally got to fulfill my dream of seeing what was going on in all the other levels.
Oh.
And
does it live up to your
expectations? No, it hasn't aged well at all. It's boring.
Great.
It's really But I remember it being so popular at the time. It just goes to show the 90s with platformers. You just needed a halfway.
My favorite thing about Jazz Jackrabbit was that was around the brief, like, sort of 2 or maybe 3 year window where they were released the Christmas versions of games. There was Christmas Jazz Jackrabbit.
Lemmings Christmas.
Lemmings Christmas.
That's right. Lemmings.
They did Christmas Nights into Dreams.
What's that?
They did Christmas Nights, which was like a Saturn game.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It was like free at like the reject shop or somewhere. Man, I wish they'd bring that back.
Because it's so much easier now. Easier to put patches into games.
You just chuck a Santa hat on all the characters.
And that would be amazing. Just for that one day. So you turn on Metal Gear Solid 5 on Christmas Day.
And it's Christmas.
And boom, Metal Gear. He's dressed up like St. Nick.
You gotta sneak into the North Pole or something.
Dead or Alive does it. They're just all of a sudden in skimpy Santa Claus outfits.
Yeah. Blizzard end up doing a lot of that stuff
as well.
Especially with World of Warcraft, they used to do little holidays and whatever. Fake ones, though.
Aged terribly, I reckon, is Sonic. I've played that again a couple of times. I'm like, fuck, running fast is actually hurting him. It's like they just have a strip and then they'll put a little beetle or a spike or anything that is going to make it less fun to run fast.
And if he just took his time, you'd be able to dodge the beetle.
So as soon as you get the boots that make you run even faster, I'm like, oh, great, this is shit.
Yeah.
It's such a weird mechanic, isn't it?
I hate it. So I'm just
I play the Sonic games and I feel like they've held up purely because The music in them is so good.
Oh, it's great.
Like, the soundtrack of those games is doing, I reckon, so much of the heavy lifting.
The 90s, like, Sonic the Hedgehog attitude as well, is that's not aged well.
Dated badly.
Like, the 1992, like, that, like, folded arms, one eyebrow raised.
Waggling his little finger.
Mario's boring. I'm cool.
Mario, what a nerd. He's got a job.
Yeah.
I'm just a, he's a plumber.
Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Too many hedgehog but female women relationships, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's just like, what are you doing, Sega?
When they rebooted him and they made him more extreme, because he was like fast and he was a little bit cheeky, but he wasn't. Remember when they bought the Dreamcast out?
Yeah.
And he was all like angry looking and he had buckles on his
sneakers. At some point he's like, in 20 years he just would go, fuck you! Fuck you, dad!
Love to see him with an earring or something.
Yeah. You think you can run away fast, dad?
Can't run away from your problems, Sonic.
But very quickly, speaking of games not aging well, and I will come back to Jazz Jackrabbit quickly because I do have more on this. We talked a bit about Bubsy the Bobcat last week.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of shitty mascots that were attempts at just like cashing in.
Yeah. What could possibly go wrong?
Yes! Wow. I remember that game being huge at the time. Boy, howdy, it has dated badly.
Oh, boy.
It has dated. The physics in it are off the wall. Like, you jump on an enemy and you just go flying.
Yeah, they didn't put a speed cap on his run. Yeah. You just keep going faster and faster.
That's how bobcats actually run, though. That's true to life with bobcats.
There's bobcats going the speed of light.
You just can't see them because they're too quick.
I reckon Bubsy is worse than Sonic for what you were saying about the mechanic running really fast and then just getting...
Yeah.
Sonic, they've at least put some... Like, they put a lot of work into it. So there are elements of that, but it's still... But Bubsy, it's like... You start going, because it's the start of the level is him and he's like crouching down like he's about to start a race.
Oh, yeah.
So you go, well, here we go.
Right. Here we go.
So you go full pelt and then immediately you hit an enemy. And here's the other thing. Bubsy has no reserve. He has like, he has no health bar.
Oh.
It's not like Mario where he shrinks. You hit one thing and you're dead and it's back to the start.
And there's fall damage. It's a platform and there's fall damage. Fall a certain distance. I suppose he goes flat in a little pancake.
Yeah, he goes a little xylophone.
That's right, a little xylophone.
It's like, yeah, good on you. You've animated this. No, this is still a fucking pain.
You knew that it was going to happen.
You
die if you jump on a car. It traps you and it drives off with you. Like, you die if you jump on a car.
You've got
to teach kids about stranger danger.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, good message.
It's really terrible. But so Jazz Jackrabbit was quite a success for its day. And then they bought out a sequel. And the classic thing of the sequel of like, just to make this a little bit different, he's got a little mate that you can play as. That classic old trick of the second game.
It was. Yep. I don't remember Jackrabbit 2.
His brother, this would never get up now.
It's not Jizz Jackrabbit.
No, it's not far off in terms of inappropriateness.
Come Jackrabbit?
Spaz Jackrabbit. He's like a red mangy looking version of Jazz.
Oh, dear.
Like he looks mental. It's so fucked.
It's a
really
retarded
fucked.
Ginger brother.
Yeah,
great.
It's real bad.
Mongoloid marsupial.
So then that was in the Wikipedia article. It's like, in spite of the game was a big success, in spite of the fact that it lost the company a lot of money. It's like, I don't see how that's a sentence.
Successful.
Maybe it was a critical success. They really love the addition of the retarded.
Finally,
a game that lets you play as an actual retard.
Raising awareness of mental health issues.
So they then
the whole thing plays out like Rain Man, where you've got to take Spaz across the whole level, but he keeps stopping and falling and going into strangers' cars.
They tried a couple of times to get like a next one up, and it never quite took until I think it was like 2002 or something.
Oh, this is when they had pedophile Jackrabbit, right?
Oh god!
They bought him back, 2002 for the Game Boy Advance. It's been a long time between drinks for Jazz Jackrabbit, and it's like finally he's coming back.
Yeah,
they end up completely changing the design of the character and completely changing the mechanics of the game and changing the whole. Names of characters are different. The whole setting is different. Fans apparently, again, this is just according to Wikipedia. I don't know who these devotees are.
I was going to say, why keep the name and not the gameplay?
So fans Spaz was
went
gone?
Crazy about this. Spaz is long gone. Spaz has been sent to a farm.
The reboot at 2002 didn't go
well? No, the reboot didn't go well at all. So they've changed. He used to be like a little nude rabbit with a little red headband on.
Yeah.
Now he's got a little jacket and pants. So it's like, now he's... That makes him fucking weird in those last two games.
Yeah.
If he's now wearing pants when he knows that that's a thing that he should be doing.
I wonder
if he wasn't
if,
before.
I don't know why that triggered something, but I wonder if No Man's Sky, because it's 18 quadzillion planets or whatever,
yeah.
they could just put a little Easter egg, like a little poster of Jack Rabbit on one of the planets. So,
yeah.
Or just in one of the planets.
That'd be cool.
There's just a penis or something. Like, there's so many.
There's just a penis.
Like, people aren't going to explore all of them ever.
Yeah.
So I feel like the programmers must have been tempted to just put on one planet.
Just something weird.
Just something
yeah.
weird.
There's got to be a couple.
Just
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Where it's like yeah. one of their phone numbers who one of them didn't like.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. One of phone number or yeah, the address.
Yeah.
Just something. Up or a planet, just a planet that just hates on one of their ex-girlfriends or something. Yeah.
The Stacey's a bitch planet.
It's just the revenge porn planet or something.
So yeah, Jazz Jackrabbit. Look, I recommend you can find it. There's like an online version of it that you can play. I recommend, it's one of those things. I think it's worth a healthy, give it a 5-minute nostalgia tip. Excellent music in it as well, I'll say.
I remember Jazz Jackrabbit and Commander Keen were both like the two ones that I had.
Did you play Cosmo's Cosmic Adventure?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Where he had the little plunger hand?
Yes, yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah, thinking today, playing Jazz Jackrabbit, I was like, that actually did, it reminded me of Commander Keen. I was like, I've got, because I reckon, yeah. I'll work on this for next week, I reckon they'll have held up very well, the Commander
Hopefully.
Keen game.
Well, weirdly, the Jazz Jackrabbit being made by Epic, they were made by id, who did Quake, which were the two big shooter ones.
Commander Keen always had like a bit of a sense of humor about it as well, yeah.
And it was a little, because he was a little kid,
yep.
And it's like he's gone into space, and it was one of those things where it's like a kid where it's like, is he really in space or is he just playing make believe?
Yeah.
Bit of a Calvin and Hobbes,
yeah.
Almost vibe to it. Do you ever play him, Luke? Commander Keen?
No, I don't know why that rings a bell. I don't think I've ever played
They're real
it.
Old. They're like old PC games. Yeah. Where there's the color palette is like five colors.
Never got to play any the Amiga or the PC. I got a bit of Commodore 64 action, but that's about it.
If you go back to Commander Keen, they're all they're good until the fourth one when they brought in Commander Spaz.
Oh, was that the one? Oh yeah. Was that the one? It was a platformer. He had a gun.
Yep.
And
he had a little
pogo stick. Yeah.
Actually, I think I did play that.
Yeah.
Do you remember James Pond?
Yes. We talked about James Pond very briefly last episode.
Yeah. I don't know why James Pond has been in my head, but genuinely James Pond has been stuck in my head for like, they were on like those fucking Acorn computers.
Really? Yeah, that's right. And that the first time I really got into co-op was World of Illusion or whatever it was.
Oh.
With the blankets.
With the Donald game. Yeah. Man, I was playing that.
Castle of Illusion?
World of Illusion was
Castle of Illusion was the Master System one with just Mickey.
Yeah.
And then World of Illusion is one of the great licensed games. It's so Mickey good. And Donald, and it's I started playing it, and again, it's on the Mega Drive, animation in it, it's so beautifully done. Like it looks brilliant. Amazing. The music is fantastic, and it's Mickey and Donald, two magicians, and they basically get sucked into their little disappearing box or whatever. So licensed for it's almost Fantasia-ish in terms
of
a lot of
playing cards as enemies and that sort of stuff.
Kind
of,
like, and like themed. Your attack defense is they've both got a little magic blanket that you just, when an enemy gets near you, just swoosh it and that enemy just disappears.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's one of the first things I remember that had, two-player co-op in it, because my friend had it and I always loved platforming games, and then being in his house and him being like, yo, we can play this at the same time. And at the time, that just being mind-blowing that you could have two of you in the same level.
Yeah.
But yeah that's... Oh, man, that's an amazing
game. Lowering the ropes and stuff and pulling them up. And I loved it.
Yeah, it's so good.
And you could wrap each other up in blankets as well when you hit each other with the
and
blanket.
And then you'd be a lot warmer when you play the game.
Exactly.
Best sleepover ever.
One that I only got to play very rarely, but when the Ghostbusters game that came out recently on the Xbox 360 and stuff.
They had like Bill Murray do the voice for it.
All
and
of
stuff.
Them,
like
yeah.
They had Dan
the,
and
the everyone came. Rick Moranis and Sigourney Weaver in it, but Janine came back. All the Ghostbusters came back to do voices, but the Peck came back. But you could play co-op and capture ghosts together, and it was so much fun.
Yeah,
it was just really
hard
to find someone online to play it with.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's
God, I loved
grim.
It. Oh, yeah, it was really hard. But when I found two people once, it was just the best night I've ever had.
Have they announced for the, this third one that's coming down the pipe, have they announced any video game plans for that?
I hope they do, because the game wasn't great without the Ghostbusters license. It was. I think it made a profit.
I did it. Okay.
And the mechanic of catching ghosts was really fun.
In terms of premise for video game, that's just should be a no brainer.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That should, it's like, you know, same with Mad Max.
Yeah.
It should just be great.
Especially
at
the time when like all those like Pokemon type of games came out. If you had a Ghostbusters-y version of that, it seems like it'd write itself.
It was
come on, Hollywood.
They made it kind of like almost fishing in the way they did the mechanic. You latched onto them, you wore them down, and then you had to sort of maneuver them into the trap. It was really fun.
It sounds almost identical to, I'm a big fan of the Luigi's Mansion games. There's one on the GameCube and there's one on the Nintendo 3DS, and it's sort of similar thing where you sort of upgrade your little thing, and it's like you have to shine a torch under the ghost to stun it, and then you've got a little vacuum cleaner, and it's like you have to slowly wear them down.
Mm. Yeah, that's
and then once
awesome.
You've got them, you can trap them, and yeah, it's man, so fun. Here's hoping we get a good Ghostbusters video game.
Yeah,
kind of open worldy kind of thing would be cool. Cruising around city,
that's
doing
one of
ghost missions.
I'm just so excited about it. The car design. Like I like the curves more, but I still I'm really excited to see what they do with it. And I think I think they did the right thing rebooting it and whole new cast and and just the people they chose as the Ghostbusters is so good.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's all this talk of like people might be returning. Like
I think Bill Murray's in it. I think
I think Dan Aykroyd definitely is. Yeah,
Rick Moranis.
If you had to pick one of them who would definitely be in it, you'd pick Aykroyd. I reckon.
Oh, absolutely.
Like he'd be the guy who'd be. Front and
he's
center,
gonna
wanting
show up
to
on
do
set
it.
One day anyway.
Yeah,
so you might as well write him.
I think Murray seems like he would just kind of fuck with them and just kind of like leave it really up in the air until the day of it happening.
Yeah, well, he's refused to do it for years.
Yeah,
when it was supposed to be just bringing the original guys back before Ramis died. Obviously,
yeah,
he was just like, no, we have two great movies. Let's not ruin the legacy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think he's going, all right, I'll do a cameo in this.
He'll probably show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about Moranis? Is he going to...
No.
I read an article
interview with him where he said he didn't see the point of returning to a role for one day of shooting that he hasn't done in so many years.
Yeah.
Bring back Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Get him in there.
But he's saying that he hasn't, like, retired from acting.
Yeah, I did see that
he's
one as well.
He's just, like, not done it for ages, which, same thing, Rick.
Yeah. Should we talk quickly about what we've been playing recently?
Yeah.
What we got on the go?
Yep.
Ben, you've been playing a bit of Madden.
Yeah. It's I don't really know much about NFL.
I thought I'll spend $80 on this game of it.
Well, I'd avoided playing the Madden games for years because of that. But I played like the 25th anniversary one on the PS3. And it's really fun. Like EA they've been doing them for so long that FIFA, NBA Live, Madden... I haven't played the NHL games, but
apparently
like,
not good. And full disclosure, that's like basically what they sent us.
Yeah. They sent us like three copies
all these
of
games
NHL.
That you're bigging up now, like they sent us like all these sports games and stuff, and then like Battlefield, which like we haven't touched yet. Really.
No, and like I used to play NBA Live a lot. I played the 2K NBA 2K series as well.
Yeah,
and
I think they're meant to be the better ones.
They are now, I think. Yeah, but Madden's great. Like it's just really fun. It's both. It can be really complicated if you want to get into like the plays and stuff, which I haven't. But if you just like want to have a setup and go, I want to see if I can throw this ball and get this guy to catch it, and then do a bit of a run. Like it's fun. Like it's simple and fun.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I think my favorite sports game of all time might be the Space Jam PC game.
Oh, I never played it.
Because it was a legitimately like good basketball game, good mechanics, like it all worked, but you can play as Wile E. Coyote and you could build up these power moves where you're just like strapping dynamite to yourself and just blasting off and slam dunking when you fall. Oh, it was so cool.
That's why I liked NBA Jam, because you just get to do these awesome dunks.
Yep.
Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, like I said, because if I'm playing a sports game, I'm like, this is fun, but let's check rockets on their back or something. Like, let's make it really fun.
Yeah.
You know?
That's kind of died off a little bit, hasn't it? Like sports games where you just go crazy and can unlock big head
rocket
mode.
Rocket League's probably the closest.
Recently. Have you played that?
Yeah. Really
is
like
it good?
It's fun. It's just crazy. Like,
that's
just
what
driving
makes
a car into a bowl.
Because that's only Steam, isn't it? That's what makes me want to get a gaming
I think it's on PS4 as well.
Oh, really?
You can download it for free. That's how I got it on PS4. It was a PlayStation Plus game for a while.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. Adam, what do you got? What have you been doing lately?
I've been playing some of the older Halo games that are included in the... And listen to how much of a dork I sound when I say this name. Halo, the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah.
Ever heard of him?
Yeah.
Some of the names of video games are very bad, and that's one of them. But like the Master Chief is just a dumb name for a character.
Yeah.
But because Halo 5 is out in like 2 weeks, and this thing came out last year. It's for the Xbox One, and it was fucking broken. It didn't work at all. Like, the single player games worked, but the multiplayer didn't work at all, and basically didn't for months on end.
Right.
And it's pretty much fixed now. I was able to go and like play against some people.
Mm. What did that happen with recently? Oh, the Batman that came out recently, where they bought it out of the PC and went, PC, oh, whoops, this is fucked.
Yeah.
So bad.
Mortal Kombat 2, they're both Warner Brothers, and I don't know what they're doing, but
they're
I bought Mortal Kombat when it came out on the PC, and it was just broken.
Yeah.
It's only been recently got it fixed.
I think something happened with Watch Dogs from memory.
Yeah.
Batman was taken down off of Steam.
Oh, wow.
And I think has just maybe very recently gone up.
Right.
It's within, okay. It might still not be up yet. Like, you couldn't buy it for months because they were like, fucking whoops.
Yeah, right.
How are they not knowing that before they release it? How do they not?
Apparently, Warner Brothers said it was good enough, I think.
Yeah,
I think they looked at it and just said it was good enough.
That's the thing, is because like 90% of the time people just get away with it, so it doesn't fucking matter to them. Yeah. But like, there was enough of a backlash.
There's like a bidding war between these companies that say we can port it to the PC for you, and they have to, you know, we'll do it at the cheapest price for the in the quickest time, and they go great, and then they just can't pull it off.
Yeah, right.
They get their money. They've gone.
That's part of what went wrong with this whole Master Chief thing, which I fucking feel like such a dumb cunt say every time.
It's fine, buddy. You're on a video game podcast.
So great.
But it was made by like 4 different groups of people.
What was this again? Sorry.
So the you know what it is. It's Halo, and so
Halo 1.
Yeah, man, 1 through 4 in a collection.
What's the collection called?
It's called the Master Chief Collection.
Oh, that's so good.
It's after the protagonist. He's my favorite character. Anyway, it was like 4 different studios that made these different things, so it didn't really work together, and that's part of why it was all fucked
up. That's why it was 4 different studios doing it.
Yeah, because there was like the anniversary version of 2, which was made by one group of people with a second group of people working with them. Then 3 and 4 were made by, they were updated by someone else, and then 1 was done by somebody else, and then the multiplayer was done by a separate group of people, none of whom had worked on the original, so didn't know the code to them at all, and were doing features with them that hadn't existed in any of the other. So it's not surprising that it broke, but you still shouldn't release a broken fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then Halo 5 is coming out in a couple of weeks, and they released a trailer for it maybe yesterday or the day before that is maybe the lamest thing I've ever seen, but at the same time made me smile so much. It's like, it opens up, it's like, where's the Master Chief? And you know, all this like standard stuff.
Yep.
And then fucking Knights of Cydonia by Muse starts playing.
Finger on the pulse.
You got me.
It's... And it's like,
wait, is this for Halo 5 or Guitar Halo Hero 6?
Just rating old hottest 100s.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here we go.
It's between this and Kings of Leon. But like,
White Stripes was already used.
But at the same time, then it's all these like robot men doing flips, and it's kind of fucking cool at the same time.
That's great.
But it's worth watching. Everyone go watch. God, like, I think it's called the release trailer for Halo 5.
Oh, I'm not saying nowhere. I'm definitely love it. Yeah, like, I still love it. I love that song.
I like how like video game trailers are getting, in some ways better, some ways like they're still finding their feet. Like the use of music is definitely. Yeah. They're trying to become more like movies.
It's very jarring. I don't like it.
Everyone went nuts for that fucking Gears of War Mad World one, where they had fucking dumbass Marcus Fenix walking around like a big idiot.
Yeah.
With this like fake town, and it's playing Mad World. Everyone's like, man, video games have turned the corner. Here we go. Real stories. Nah, man. It's just it's a song from Shrek.
Yeah.
Like, I think that one was from Shrek.
Well, just walk outside. And if you've get your phone and just film some slow-mo vid if you've got it.
Yeah.
And then just watch the playback of a, say, at a bus mall, at a Flinders Street station or something, and then just sing Mad World to yourself. it works. Anything slow-mo.
A plastic
slow-mo.
Bag in the wind.
Yeah. Exactly. It's student film, like, bullshit. Yeah.
When they started putting game trailers at the start of movies and you're watching them in the cinema, it's like, is this a game or a shitty animated film that's coming out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I wish they had that happening back when it was Mario and, you know, 8-bit and stuff.
In a world.
Hold on, I just got to blow in the cartridge real quick.
That kind of stuff really underlines how gaming is still very clearly in its infancy. Like,
especially
the comparison in a movie.
When you're doing trailers, you want to focus on story. It's the easiest way to do it. And video game stories are still fucking abysmal.
Stupid.
Almost across the board.
Like, almost, yeah.
And and then there's things like all the Gamergate stuff and it's just films are same, like just how female characters can be portrayed and things like it's so backwards sometimes. But there's some
it's about ethics and film journalism.
Oh, sorry, one mistake.
Games journalism. Yeah.
The film ones though. They don't do it.
Yeah.
It's telling that there's no group that's ever had the equivalent of a fucking movie gate.
Yeah.
I guess you call it Lionsgate, huh? Like the film production company and the podcast.
Oh boy. Luke, what have you been playing lately?
I still love Bloodborne.
Yeah.
It's just so good. So I'm waiting for the expansion to come out before I hit it again.
You know, they're releasing like a Game of the Year edition on the same day as that expansion coming out.
I'll probably buy it. It's like Firefly. They bring the DVD and the Blu-rays. We brought it. It's exactly the same, but it's a different color. Like, I'll buy it. Yeah. Just in case that's the right amount of money that I need to tip over into a new series. Just needed that $20. Let's go. All the old cast, even through the diet.
Snapping it anyway and buying three more at some point.
Exactly. I've just played a game called To the Moon. I'm at the moment playing Rayman Legends with my friend Silly Picol, who's a great comedian. We've been playing that just through. It's just fun. But there's a game called To the Moon where you play a group of scientists, and I think the premise is you go into people's minds to help them achieve their life's wish they didn't get to do before they died.
Okay. This is like your arcade game that you want to
set up. So you help them achieve the memory that... in the game, the guy wants to have gone to the moon. So they need to go back into his life, have him studied hard, get to NASA, to the moon.
Oh, wow.
And the game is basically going back through his memory. Because to do it, it has to feel like a real memory and has to interlace with all their other memories.
Oh, my God. And what's this on?
It's on PC. And it's just a really simple 16-bit style graphics, like a top-down sort of RPG look. But it's, you just go back and try and make someone's dream come true, and you've got to work out why they want it and then make it fit in with all their... Like, it's got to feel very natural or the dream doesn't take hold.
Yeah. That sounds like an amazing concept.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah. And it's done kind of simply with like just little puzzles here and there, but it's just a cool message and it's a nice. It was different.
Is it Steam or is it just a downloadable thing?
I don't know if you can get it elsewhere, but it was just a cool.
I'm gonna go in.
I hadn't played something like that. Before.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me that there's a. Even though I love shoot 'em ups, I love fighting games, I love any of the generic AAA stuff. I love it. Like, I'll eat it up. Yeah. But it did remind me that there's the medium can do a lot of different things that other mediums can't do.
If halfway through that game, Knights of Cydonia by Muse had started playing?
Oh, it just would have kicked it up a notch. You know? they really missed a trick.
That's one of his dreams, is to be in Muse and go back and make that happen.
Like, if the credits came up and hey, now you're an all-star. So here we go.
I've been playing recently an RPG, a game called Earthbound from the Super Nintendo,
What's it like?
Well, this is the thing. I've always heard about it. Those characters are in the Super Smash Brothers series, which I'm a big fan. And everything I've heard about it, it just seems... I love the art style. I love the sense of humor. Just everything about it seemed like it's just almost like tailor-made for me. Like, it just ticks so many boxes for me, right up my alley. Yep. So I finally started playing it, and I'm very early in and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it a lot. It's very funny. It's got a very cool vibe to it. Hmm. Like, at the start, you have to fill out the names. You have to name yourself. You have to name your three friends. You have to name your favorite dog. And then it asks you what your favorite food is. It asks you what your favorite things are, which I guess are going to come at a certain point. But I just think that's like a funny, like, it's like, what's your favorite thing in the world? And I put memes. And so I'm guessing at a certain point someone's going to try and show me a meme or something. Which is exciting to know that's coming up.
That's cool.
I have to say though, and this has always been a big problem for me with RPGs. Like, I love the whole concept of RPG, the puzzling and all that sort of stuff. The fucking combat in those things kind of drives me crazy.
So what is the question? Whole,
it's a lot of walking around. You know, you're trying to, where am I meant to go? What am I meant to be doing? I'm just going to try and walk around this little forest and try and work out where this thing is. And then a fucking bat comes at you. And now you have to fight a bat. And that's happening nonstop. That whole, that really old school RPG style of fighting where it's like you're getting pounced on nonstop. And the combat is just like that turn-based stuff of you just going, I attack. You did 8 points of damage.
Yeah.
The crow attacked you. It did 7 points of damage.
It's really dated.
It's just
now.
Back and forth, and it's not exciting. There's no real strategy to it.
That's why Dark Souls was so cool, because you would go around a corner and then you'd see something and you go, well, I'm not taking that on. That's going to kick my ass. Yeah. And then it does. And it's just, you can see, like, they just put monsters there. And they don't bother you. They're just there for you to decide whether you want to fight or not sometimes. Yeah. And I love that.
Well, that was the genius of the Pokemon games, because it took that whole concept of the random fights, but it's like, well, you're trying to catch these things. So
that's true.
When one came at you that you hadn't seen before, it's like, oh, cool, I can try and get this one.
But I mean, those sort of games have had like similar sort of things. Like, I remember Chrono Trigger, which is from like 95.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Like, that had the thing of like, they're going to show up. You can see them. Like, if you want to walk around.
Yeah, that was the most frustrating thing about Final Fantasy VII, which I've been replaying recently on PC. Yeah. Just the random fights.
Stuff.
It's interesting to see what they do with that, with the remake that they're doing.
It's almost like forcing a grind on you to a certain
extent.
I kind of wish with all the, every time I've played an RPG, I always just reach this point where I'm loving the story, I'm loving everything about it, but then you get to a combat point and it's like, I wish the combat could just be a screen and it's just like a side-scrolling beat-em-up. Like, that's, I wish it could just be like, I just go hell for leather on a boss and then they die and then I'm back to,
it's a lot of the time these
solving
arbitrary enemies that aren't anything to do with the story or the stuff you're invested in about the game.
Yeah.
It's like, I remember in Final Fantasy VII, actually, there's a big fucking dragon at one point that's completely nothing to do with anything that's going on in the story, but it's a big, tough, like, difficulty gate dragon.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I remember
and
that.
Especially when you need to level up, like you get those XP from fighting and you need to be at a certain level to do something. So you just have to like walk through the woods. Like that's what I'm doing at the moment in this game. I know what I have to do. I have to beat this gang in the town, but I have to be a certain level to beat them. So I'm just walking around the woods fighting snakes. Yeah. It's fucked.
Yeah.
That's why, like 15, I'm curious to see how that, because it looks good. And when they announced the reboot of 7, I'm like, I wonder if they're going to do that same style of walking up to bad guys as opposed to getting sprung.
I mean, that's a genius of, again, Zelda. Like, it's an RPG for all intents and purposes, but it doesn't have any of that stuff in it. It's all just slashing your way around.
Yeah, it's a lot more focused on the puzzle aspect of stuff than any of those were.
I mean, I'm liking everything else about Earthbound enough to keep going with it. Like the enemies, so I'm just in a woods at the moment and getting just attacked by like stray dogs, and there's like a certain type of enemy is a crow, but his name is Sinister Crow, and the little picture of him that comes up is just a crow wearing sunglasses, which is pretty funny. So you get attacked, it's like Sinister Crow attacked you, and then he comes onto the screen like, hey!
Like a Dumbo crow? Like one of the Dumbo ones?
Kind of,
Like a racist
crow? He's got like these cool shades on like, and he pecks at your eyes, and
they weren't racist.
All the text, all the directions and stuff are really funny. Like there's humor in like pretty much everything that happens is like a little weird.
What's this one again?
Joke. This is back to Earthbound.
Earthbound. Yeah. Right. I have to play it.
But so yeah, I'm going to stick with it.
There's
got to
be more
keep
comedy
reporting back
in games, you know? There's got to be more comedy in games.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
it's because of the repetitive nature of them, jokes get old. So they're trying to put stuff in there that's not going to...
The only ones where it's ever really worked were with those sort of adventure stuff.
Yeah,
games.
Monkey Island.
Yeah.
Halo did...
the old LucasArts games. Day of the Tentacle, Sam and Max.
Halo let a bit of marine dialogue be funny. Like little things like when you swap a gun with some of them. If he's got a rocket launcher and you give him a pistol, he goes, well, at least I can shoot myself. There's some cool little stuff in there, I think.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of stuff in Grand Theft Auto, the last one, that was pretty funny.
That's true,
like,
there's a lot of ham-fisted bullshit in that, though. Like, for as much as those
that's
games
true.
Get a lot of like the it's like a satire of American culture.
It's the most juvenile satire.
It's also
possible,
like this runway has 69 painted on it, which is fucking hilarious.
That's a bad example.
But I shouldn't have gone with that one.
Anything that where they try to do a takeoff of Facebook and whatever the name for it ends up being it's called Waste Your Life Book. Okay, we get it.
It's called Invade. It's called Life Invader in
that's
that
it,
one.
Yeah. That's Life right. Invader. Fuck off.
It's their first run at it. It's their first thing, and they've just gone, yep, not enough room on the whiteboard for anything else. That'll have to stick.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that's just about all the time we've got for this week on Filthy Casuals. That brings us to the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. Unless anyone has any parting final thoughts.
Nah.
Thanks for coming, Luke.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Luke, do you have any stuff you want to plug or whatever?
Any what's or any
stuff you want to like promote?
I got nothing. I got just a black void of
Luke W. McGregor on
anxiety
Twitter?
And depression. No, I got nothing at the moment.
Well, thanks for coming and hanging with us. We'll have to get you back again sometime soon.
Yeah, oh, I'd love to, guys. I love talking games.
Plenty it's more. Nice. It's barely scratched the surface.
I still haven't got to a point in my life where I'm. I feel okay telling my honest views about a subject.
And, that's enough, mate.
And telling my sorry, and my hobbies like video games, comic books, like all that stuff.
I have a lot of inbuilt of that as well. Like I struggle to say Master Chief Collection.
It's a great game.
It's a self-loathing gamer.
First time you play Halo, and there's just that you get out of that. You start in a corridor crawl, and then the second level you're. In that just massive expanse of field. Mm. You're like, what the hell is this? It's
it was just very so good. That great. Was one of the early co-op ones for me as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry. Yeah. You were trying to
the
podcast.
No, it's good. So,
guys, thanks for all your feedback and stuff so far. Send us anything you want us to chew on. We're at FilthyCASPod on Twitter. What's the Facebook again?
Filthy Casuals Podcast.
Yep.
And we love to have a bit of a chat with you guys. So please do leave a comment. It's fun.
Like us on, head to the Facebook and stuff. Leave us a review and all that stuff on iTunes. Keep sharing it around. Hit that subscribe button to let us know if you're up.
Yep.
Thanks very much for listening. See you next time, The Filth.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
No one's gonna take me. Time has come to make things right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.